Chapter 10. Kesh, 2 years earlier.
The windows of Vistara's chamber were open, allowing a soft, cool breeze, fragrant with the heady scent of dalsa flowers in bloom, to waft congenially about the room. Vases containing other varieties of cut flowers were perched on pieces of furniture. Paintings from the finest artists around the world, both Kashiri and human, adorned the walls. Everything in the room bespoke beauty, calmness, and contentment. Everything except Vistara herself. She fidgeted on the chair, drawing a soft rebuke from her attendant Moyura.
If my lady wishes to appear beautiful, then she must be patient,
Moyura said in the soft, lilting accent of her people. Even after millennia spent with humans among them, the Kashiri had not quite lost the rhythm of their native tongue. Vistara liked hearing it, although the vast majority of humans and the Kashiri themselves regarded it as a liability. Vistara thought it was soft and beautiful and perfect, like so much of the Kashiri. She gazed at her image in the mirror as Mayura's clever fingers braided and pinned her long, light brown hair. The intricate Vor Shandi face markings had already been painted on. Their history predated the Sith presence on Kesh. Each mark of the brush, dipped in the dark brown nectar of the Sarai plant, had deep significance and was bestowed with heavy ritual. Vistara admired the delicate tracery of a dalsa flower and its trademark thorns trailing up her neck and across her cheek, then frowned a little as the leaves merged with the scar on her mouth. She always ordered the artist to disguise her scar with a design whenever possible. At least this way she could minimize her disfigurement. She distracted herself from her self-criticism by wondering for the thousandth time why she was being summoned before the Circle of Lords. At first, when the summons had come to her and her parents yesterday, borne by no lesser a figure than a Sith master in full formal robes, she had thought it had something to do with her application to become an apprentice. But then the summons had stipulated that she appear alone, at the high seat in Tav. If it had been something as traditional as taking on the role of apprentice, she would have been summoned to the Sith temple. Her father, Gavar Kai, himself a Sith saber, exuded surprise and puzzlement in the Force. Laka, her mother, wasn't Force-sensitive at all, but even she couldn't miss the tension and mystery. She glanced worriedly from her husband to daughter, but held her tongue. This was Sith business, and not for her to know about. Vistara's father had questioned her at length that night, his presence affectionate, but concerned. Had she said anything to displease anyone of significance? Had she broken any of the rules Tyros vowed to obey? Perhaps slacked on her training or studies? Mute with apprehension, Vistara had shaken her head. She had done none of these things. She did not mention the conversation she'd had 2 days previously with Ship. In fact, the subject of Ship had not been mentioned at all, by anyone. Shortly after Ship's arrival at the temple, security had taken to the air and demanded that everyone clear the skies around the area. All training had been postponed, and the temple was closed until further notice, save to those who lived there. No doubt the Circle of Lords was discussing the strange vessel and what it meant for them, but ordinary Sith had no idea as to what was going on. It was all as mysterious as Ship itself. Vistara shivered, even though the air circulating through the room was warm. She extended a hand, and a glass of water floated into it. She sipped the cool liquid from a straw so as not to mar the Vor Shandi marking so close to her mouth, while Moyura finished up.
There,
Moyura said, smiling, meeting Vistara's eyes in the mirror.
You look lovely, mistress.
Vistara did not answer. She turned her head this way and that, then rose to view the form-fitting green dress that was slit up the side to showcase her long, lean legs. Her arms, sleek with muscle, were also adorned with Vor Shandi markings, and every finger on her hands sported a ring of some sort. The markings, painted on by artists who had studied for years under their masters, as Vistara would study under hers, would wash off tonight in the bath, leaving her skin pristine and undamaged. The jewelry that dangled from her ears was draped around them, not inserted in the lobes.